Palm Sunday, Jesus marching into Jerusalem, is the perfect example of how the story that we tell and inhabit shapes everything about us. How we see and understand the world, how we feel, who we are, what we love. The story that we tell and inhabit is everything. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace, riding the colt of a donkey, unarmed, no army. I mean, it's very obvious. But the people see this and they celebrate a revolutionary leader, a warrior, a conquering king who will rid Jerusalem of foreigners and sinners. And then when they realize that Jesus is not what they expected, they turn on him, torture him, shame him, and kill him with the violence that they hoped he would deal out to their enemies. I could read you bits from the book of 2 Maccabees, which tells the story of Judas Maccabee and his companions, who overthrow Antiochus called Epiphanes, who was this tyrannical leader who was really horrible. And it's a war story of violence that overthrows Antiochus. And then they celebrate it, and that becomes Hanukkah. I could read you, I'll just read you this one. I have it right in front of me. So this is from a book called the Psalm of Solomon. I read this to you every year on Palm Sunday because it sets up what people expected. It's the story that they told. So the Psalm of Solomon was a book that was popular at the time of Christ. See, Lord, and raise up for them their kings, the son of David, to rule over your servant Israel, undergird him with strength to destroy the unrighteous rulers, to purge Jerusalem from Gentiles, to drive out the sinners from the inheritance, to smash the arrogance of sinners like a potter's jar. He will be a righteous king over them, taught by God. There will be no unrighteousness in his days, for he shall be the Lord Messiah. So that kind of thing is what they all wanted. The Maccabees story talks about them waving ivy wands and palm branches and having a parade into Jerusalem, exactly like we just read in Palm Sunday. So Jesus comes in as the Prince of Peace, and they see David the warrior, Maccabee the warrior, the hammer. Maccabee literally means the hammer. This is what they see, and they're hoping for a violent revolution. And then when Jesus doesn't give that to them, they kill Jesus. Now here's the hard part, is to realize that that story that they tell is the same story we tell. We as a culture inhabit a story of violence. The same basic story that humans have been telling for thousands and thousands of years, almost no matter what culture you're in. Walter Wink, I have talked about him before. I don't know if you remember his name. He's written a lot about this. His book, The Powers That Be, is a really good introduction to it. And Walter Wink calls this almost universal human story the myth of redemptive violence. Wink traces this back to the Babylonian creation myths in the ancient world. In the Babylonian creation myths, the world is literally made of a defeated monster that was killed in violence. The world is birthed in violence. The key plot to this story of the myth of redemptive violence is that the way to victory, the way to peace, the way to redemption is through violence, through the defeat, the killing of, the destroying of, through violence, one's enemy. And that basic myth, we are saturated with it. It's everywhere. It's in children's cartoons. It's in blockbuster movies. It's everywhere. We tell this story so often in our actual stories, books and TVs and movies, in our politics, in our churches even, that we're used to it. And we're just steeped in violence. We tell it so often. So I said in our churches, even the way we think about the crucifixion sometimes is this myth of redemptive violence sneaking into our theology, where we think that God has to destroy something to win. God has to have blood, has to kill. That's the myth of redemptive violence. We import the myth of redemptive violence even into our church story. So much so that, you know, the tragic news over the last several weeks really isn't surprising. Things like the Atlanta massacre and the Boulder shootings, they're almost normal and predictable because that's the story we tell. One of the things that has been talked about some in the Atlanta shootings is kind of stems from some of the church stuff. You know, that shooter was an evangelical Christian. And a lot of people have kind of blamed purity culture on parts of that. Miroslav Volf, he's another theologian I mention every once in a while. I really like him a lot. He was reflecting on the kind of religious side of the Atlanta massacre. And there's obviously, you know, racial and different things going on here. But he was thinking specifically about how religion plays into it. And he wrote this, that moralizing religion, basically purity culture, results in violence towards oneself, in self-loathing, and violence against others, the source of impurity, theoretically. So, you know, the patriarchy is built into the myth of redemptive violence. There's this violence against women. There is the idea of women being evil or the source of evil or the temptress. Back in that Babylonian creation myth, this monster that gets destroyed is a woman, it's a female, and that gets played into all kinds of things. It's amazing to see every place. When you understand this myth, you can see it everywhere, almost to the exact detail. It's really crazy. Human hierarchy is built into the myth of redemptive violence. In our day, this plays out in racism, ethnocentrism, gender things and sexuality things, ableism. All of these things play into the myth of redemptive violence in various ways. Go read Walter Wink for more, or we can talk about it later, but I could spend forever talking about that. This is the point, is that we are steeped in the story. It's the story we tell. And here is what I want you to hear about Palm Sunday and Holy Week. Palm Sunday and Holy Week exposes this myth. It exposes how completely saturated we are with violence. Jesus comes into Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace, riding the colt of a donkey, unarmed, no army. What the people see and celebrate, because they're so steeped in violence, is a revolutionary leader. They see a warrior, David, the Maccabee, a conquering king who will rid Jerusalem of foreigners and sinners. And when they realize that Jesus is not what they expected, they turn on him, torture him, shame him, and kill him with the violence they wanted him to deal out to their enemies. The story that they told and the story that we still tell is the story of redemptive violence, the myth that violence can be redemptive. They could not imagine, these people who give this parade to Jesus and then kill him a few days later, they couldn't imagine, because their story didn't allow it, Romans being saved, being blessed, being loved. They couldn't imagine it. And so they killed the one who brought such blessing on these so-called sinners. Jesus reveals God as a God of peace and of life and of blessing for everyone without violence. And they killed him because of it. So here's our kind of to-do list in light of Palm Sunday, in light of what I've talked about this morning. Three things on our to-do list. The first one is to begin to recognize the myth of redemptive violence around you. Just start noticing it. Pay attention to where it shows up. See this story. When violence is a good thing, that's the myth of redemptive violence. If the bad guy or if the good guys just had a bigger gun, just used it more effectively, just killed more bad guys, that's the myth of redemptive violence. And again, go get that book. I'm looking around because I usually have it on my desk. I like it so much. The Powers That Be is such a good book and talks about the myth of redemptive violence. Learn that story so that you can recognize it and critique it. Learn it, not only in movies, but also in your own heart. Learn when you are longing for better violence so that peace comes about. Oh, that's redemptive violence, and that doesn't really exist. It's a myth. When we think violence is the answer, we're in that story. So that's the first thing. Just learn to recognize it all around you, in your own heart, and it's everywhere. And then the second thing is to look for exceptions to the story, because those exceptions do exist. Sometimes we tell stories where redemption comes through like blessing and embrace instead of violence. And some of those stories are really beautiful. So pay attention, notice those, and celebrate them. Point them out, relish them, and note how they are so different than the myth of redemptive violence. My favorite of them that I keep in the front of my mind is the movie Moana. In that movie, they try to use violence to defeat the big bad guy. And Moana ends up realizing that love and redemption are the path to victory. And the way that the victory is won is through tender mercy. It's a tender hand and the forehead-to-forehead embrace of the monster that ends up bringing life, not the monster's defeat through violence. And so notice those times we don't tell the typical myth of redemptive violence and celebrate them. And then the third thing is to learn and to tell and to live into the true story of God, where Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the God of grace, the giver of life, the friend who forgives, the source of healing, of new beginnings, of second and third and 700th chances, the God of love that is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell, that goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Learn this story, that Jesus is the spring of life, a fountain free for you and me, and he bids us all freely drink. Lord God, would you help us to know the true story of peace and redemption that you give us through Christ? Remind us that even the church gets it wrong and tells a story of redemptive violence, and that we need to really rebuke that and move away from it. Help us to learn your story. The story of embrace, of healing, of redemption, of forgiveness, of reconciliation. God, you certainly right all wrongs, but you do it not through violence, but through life. Bring us life and make us people of life. Do this in us and through us. We are so violent. Would you redeem us? We need you. Amen.